This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Judd on location at a casino in Iowa today.
Yeah, I am. Coming back from a nice long weekend with the family. It's been fantastic. I'm told the Zolgads are not up. I'm told that we're down going into today. That it didn't work out well last night downstairs. I retired early because I'm older. But I am told that the deficit right now outweighs the profit in the Zolgad room.
Okay, well, you still got some time. You got a late checkout this morning.
You never know. We could go win it all back. I'm going to put it all on some arbitrary football game, spring football league game.
How about UFL? That? Let's do it. UFL.
Yeah. How about that?
Let's get it. So we'll see if the Zolgads can make up for it before coming back here. We're less than 2 weeks away now. We are a week and a half away from the National Football League draft. And today's episode is going to center around it's quarterback watch 2024 is the umbrella theme here. But what are anonymous NFL executives saying about the Vikings quarterback targets in the draft? And I have assembled for you guys a bunch of anonymous quotes from general managers, from scouts, The Athletic and Albert Breer and PFF have done a lot of the work here. We are just the aggregators for Vikings fans. So we're going to dive into what anonymous NFL executives are saying about these quarterbacks after we shout out our friends at Quick Trip. In fact, on the way back from Iowa into the Twin Cities, you're going to pass by several different Quick Trips. It's going to be very exciting.
Yep, exactly right. It's going to be firsthand experience at work because as the Zolgads trek back home today, there's going to be, as Phil just said, multiple Quick Trips. And here's the greatest thing at each and every one. Let's talk about the choices, the quality gasoline guarantee, the snacks. And right here, if you are, you're contemplating, what should I get for dinner tonight? It's a Monday night. I'm not sure. May I suggest the Quick Trip has all your choices in that area, too, especially the chicken, fried chicken, chicken tenders, roasted whole chicken, prepared fresh daily, 2 or 8 piece. We're talking about the good stuff. We're talking about Quick Trip. So be like Sports Dad. Stop at a Quick Trip. Say hi. Say Purple Daily's on fire right now. And Quick Trip is my number one choice.
Yes. Okay. Speaking of odds and speaking of sports books and the like, is there a sports book at the Iowa casino?
Yeah. I saw NBA championship odds last night. Stanley Cup odds. There's a little book. I would like to just for the record, I would like to coordinate the TVs. Still not great.
Even at the sports book?
It's a lot of TVs, but I feel like there's no one really dedicated to the art of the television. And here's my thing. I'm not a big gambler, but the sports book I hold near and dear because of the ability to put every game on, the right game. It feels like it's very willy-nilly still. It's a put off to me.
Yeah. If Judd wants to watch Predators and Devils, damn it, I should be able to. You should be able to watch Predators and Devils at his own disposal.
There should be no game on that you don't have on of a professional sport, in my opinion.
It's embarrassing, quite frankly. That would never happen in the great state of Minnesota.
Anyway, side rant, I'm done.
So what are anonymous NFL executives, coaches, scouts saying about Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix? Those are the five, right? Do we all agree at this point? Those are the five quarterbacks that are in play right now for the Vikings in the first round.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through a ton of fun quotes from these executives, coaches, and scouts. We can react to each set of quotes. We can rank. I think by the end of this exercise, we should then rank what our perception is of these quarterbacks. And we're going to start with, I think if you were to go down to that sports book, if they had most likely to pair this quarterback with this team. I still feel like J.J. McCarthy Vikings is the most. I mean, Caleb Williams, obviously. Jaden Daniels, maybe Commanders. But let's start with what are people saying about J.J. McCarthy. I'm just going to read some stuff. You guys jump in, react however you want to.
Got it.
Here's one NFL scout on Twitter saying, quote, before he signed, J.J. McCarthy was telling other Michigan recruits that if they wanted to party and chase girls, go somewhere else. His class was going to be the one that restored Michigan football. To have that mentality and then actually go achieve it, J.J. McCarthy is different. I like that, by the way.
That's intense.
Tell those other 18-year-old idiots, listen, you want to go party? You want to go to the clubs? The clubs in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Yeah. Yes.
Not here. Not on my watch.
That's what we call intangibles. Like it's incredibly important to be, especially as you graduate into this league, I think it's incredibly important to be wired that way. Like, I love that. I don't need a quarterback in some ways is sort of like a parent. You don't need the quarterback to be like everyone's best friend. You need them to have sort of a control, right? Like, yeah, am I going to go out with J.J. McCarthy and party on Friday? I don't need J.J. for that. I don't need my QB needs to be a guy that I respect a lot, I think.
I mean, in fairness, when I was in college, some friends and I were in Mazatlan for a spring break, and I saw Dante Culpepper in Mazatlan at a wet T-shirt contest. So, and that was coming. I think that was coming off his best season of all, maybe one of the greatest seasons in Vikings quarterback. You can't. I'm not saying you can't go enjoy yourself a little bit once in a while, but it's nice to have someone who's dedicated to the craft, right? Okay, this is from AlbertBreerSI.com about J.J. McCarthy. In a meeting room setting, McCarthy's football IQ has reflected his experience running a pro-style offense. He's also been very reflective in telling his story about his depression during COVID. Then there's the physical part of it, which has been better than expected. One AFC coach said, quote, J.J.'s got more arm than I thought I saw on tape. It was pretty impressive. Every ball wasn't on the face mask. Some were a little bit behind guys. Caleb has more natural accuracy. But man, J.J. showed off his arm. The spiral is tight. The rotation is there. He drove the ball more than Caleb Williams did.
Football.
His pro day was ridiculous, said one AFC college scouting director. He's a super athlete, a really efficient thrower, and I like his skill set. Now, the difference is Caleb Williams is so twitchy and explosive, he barely needs to put any body effort into just making a ridiculous throw. J.J., conversely, needs to use a lot more of his body and needs more space to throw to get it there, a little more oomph. That said, the workout helped to put to bed the idea that McCarthy doesn't have starting quarterback tools. He's not the physical outlier a lot of guys who go that high in the draft usually are, but that's not his game anyway. Then there's the athletic. Two sources rank J.J. McCarthy quarterback 2 in this year's class. They talked to a panel of 17. The Athletic talked to 17 different GMs, former GMs, scouting directors, etc. Multiple panelists prefer his playtime processing and intangibles over other quarterbacks in this class. One GM said, I do need to watch him more. I personally never saw the positives that we're hearing about him. He never had to carry Michigan. He was driving a damn Cadillac. But another source compared him to Brock Purdy, whose traits meshed perfectly in the Shanahan offense. And then finally, another scout said, I don't love McCarthy. He's a winner and has the intangibles, but I wouldn't say I like his arm. And I think the athlete stuff is a little overrated. He reminds me personally of Daniel Jones. So we've got some people saying right. He's QB2.
Right.
He's the greatest leader in the history of college football. And then at the end, you got a scout saying, he's Danny Dimes. Let's calm down.
And QB2 goes back to what Pelissero reported last month, right? Which was some evaluators were saying, or some executives were saying, that the word was that J.J. McCarthy was going to go to Washington too.
Yeah.
So that does track with, like, there's definitely that vibe, at least from some. So let's go back to what I think it was the Breer report a couple of weeks ago said, though, because I think it was a really interesting thing to sort of draw a line of distinction here. How much stock do you put in, and I'm not saying you don't put stock in, okay? So I'm just being clear here. How much stock do you put in what the scouts say? compared to Kevin O'Connell, compared to the guys that go, and, you know, we don't know how these personal workouts went, but I get a little bit concerned when the scouts go and watch a position that's just so important. Like, athletic ability is part of it, and it's huge, but it's not the only part, because it's mental. It's so much more than just what you can do physically. And allow the scouts to drive the discussion there. I think what they say is important, and I would not dismiss it. But I also think that Breer's story was really insightful as far as you've got to draw a line there, because if Kevin O'Connell goes, okay, this guy's got four intangibles that scouts don't see, they don't know, they're not even trying to get at those things. And I see those, and I do see some deficiencies athletically, but I think I can fix three of them. You know, it's like McCarthy seems like an intangible guy. I mean, clearly Brock Purdy is partially, largely, right?
He's an intangible guy because he can process quickly. He can learn. He clearly digested a playbook quickly. I think the problem is we don't get to find out Kevin O'Connell's opinion until sometime in 10 days from now or beyond. But the reason why you would choose Kevin O'Connell's opinion is because he gets information by spending one-on-one time with J.J. McCarthy, spending hours, according to reports, it might have been even a multi-day session with J.J. McCarthy. It was for sure a whole day. I think the physical stuff, there's like certain prerequisites that you just need to hit. There's certain benchmarks you have to be able to hit to play NFL quarterback. If you can't throw a pass on a relative dime outside the numbers on an out route, you're probably not going to play NFL quarterback. You're going to be throwing pick sixes up and down the sideline, right? So like, I take the scouts, the general managers, like anyone who's watching him throw at pro days and workouts. Yes, you guys know what you're looking at in terms of footwork, what needs to be ironed out. But I think once you get past that, there's this other chunk of the evaluation that you just don't have a clue until you sit in a room with the guy and find out, can he process? Can he lead? Is he a weirdo? Is he insecure? Like all these different things that potentially shipwreck young quarterbacks before they even have a chance. One more thing from PFF here on J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy's biggest strength is his ability to make throws over the middle of the field, which is huge in Kevin O'Connell's offense. While he didn't have as many dropbacks in his 2024 draft as his 2024 draft counterparts, he still attacked the middle of the field at a high rate. On his throws over the middle, he earned a 91.2 passing grade out of 100 and recorded an 86% adjusted completion percentage, which is ridiculous. Both of those numbers were top 10 among all FBS quarterbacks. Making anticipatory throws over the middle is McCarthy's calling card, and it's a very translatable skill when it comes to graduating to the NFL. Now, the weaknesses are accuracy throwing outside and just general inexperience.
Right.
He's the youngest dude here.
Right.
But that's sort of the totality of what people are saying about J.J. McCarthy right now.
So the outside throws, I guess my question there is how much of that can be taught, how much of that can be worked on by O'Connell. And what's interesting here, too, is we're talking about these guys and going through their positives, negatives, the intangibles. But the other thing, too, is, you know, Kevin O'Connell, you sort of have to also break him down as you break these guys down. And I will say this, we have some specific firsthand knowledge of what O'Connell can do. And granted, this guy was a pro at the time through Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk Cousins was a very efficient, statistically excellent QB who didn't really shine when he needed to until Kevin. And then he did. And then Kevin got, so like, I think the thing that I trust about O'Connell as well is he did take Kirk, and in my opinion, despite the fact in 2022, the statistics went down a little bit, made him a far better QB though. And so, again, I would say if you look at McCarthy, and the interesting thing about McCarthy too is no matter what he did or didn't do in school, Jim Harbaugh trusted him. That's as Phil knows too from, you know, Booney and stuff, I think that's a big thing. Like if Jim Harbaugh trusts you to play the position that he played, I think that speaks, you know, before we say, well, he didn't do anything. did he really not do anything, or did he not just do what you like to see on tape because you watch a ton of tape? I'm not dissing that. I'm just saying that's the only way that fans and draft Knicks can get their fix. It's tape. There's nothing beyond that. So the fact that Jim Harbaugh took this guy and with a team that he knew had a chance to win a national championship, like this was not a okay team, this was a great team, and entrusted him to run the entire show, that to me speaks volumes.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yeah, and some of it is like obviously he's going to pump the tires after the draft about his guy, and he wants to set his guy up and put his guy over, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, I think people are making too much out of, well, he was just driving this ridiculous car and didn't do anything. But if you start to look at some of the plays that are being highlighted for what translates to the NFL, there's a throw that I keep seeing on social media, and they showed it a couple times on ESPN this morning. RG3 was breaking down film where I think it was a tight end going up the seam, but McCarthy drops back. He like looks the safety off to the left, and this is in the red zone. And he throws an absolute tight window dart over the head of a linebacker and just inside the safety to a tight end up the seam, a throw that like a lot of quarterbacks would just move off of because, oh, there's two defenders right there. Well, but one of them has their back turned and the other one is 4 yards behind in coverage. So there is a window. I mean, that's in the NFL. Sometimes you need to either see a window where other quarterbacks see a risk, or you need to anticipate a window where there isn't one yet and trust that it's going to be there if you throw the receiver open. And there's a lot of throws on tape where JJ McCarthy does exactly those things, even though, yes, he was handing the ball off a lot in a Cadillac system for sure. Okay, let's talk about Jaden Daniels. So he might just go number two and be completely unavailable to you, but it is kind of interesting that there's all this steam about maybe JJ McCarthy being the guy. Drake May was for a long time the guy at number two. If Jaden Daniels falls beyond two, does he become available? Is he available at two? Like, could the Vikings coax the Commanders into a trade here? But here's what people are saying about Jaden Daniels. Now, this first snippet is from The Athletic, and again, they surveyed a panel of 17 NFL executives, coaches, scouts, quarterback coaches. Of the 17, 14 ranked Caleb Williams as quarterback one, but three of them ranked Jaden Daniels as QB1 above Caleb Williams, which is kind of interesting. One assistant coach said, Daniels is so good. He is so much better than Drake May and JJ McCarthy. It's not even close. Daniels can play NFL football right now. Another scout said, Jaden probably made more progress than any quarterback coming out in the last 5 or 6 years. He can anticipate. He can make all the throws. He's an explosive athlete. As a scrambler, he's not quite Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick, but his ability to process pre-snap has improved a lot as a passer. He got all of those virtual reality reps. That's something that's really interesting now compared to maybe like when the Vikings were drafting a Christian Ponder or somebody. A lot of these guys just get hundreds and thousands of VR reps with all the new technology, and Jaden Daniels apparently took advantage of that. Another scout said, high upside, but has a ton of room to grow still. It'll take a couple years, and the offense has to be tailored to him, but he can be a great quarterback. There's some concerns about his thin frame, 6'4", 210 pounds. And penchant for playing in traffic, which led to some wicked collisions in college. And there's some long-term frets among the panelists about his ability to stay healthy in the NFL. One former head coach said, Jaden is QB2. He can start immediately, but he better learn to protect himself or he'll be in the cold tub often. And I'll give you one more from a personnel executive in the NFL. He could end up being the best quarterback in this class. Good athlete, arm talent. I think he sees it and can process. There's a big drop off after him and Caleb Williams in this draft class. Jaden Daniels.
It does feel, at least to me, like Jaden is the number two quarterback in this draft, just because of his athletic upside and whatnot, and even some, and this can change it, because I think even Will Levis last year was going to be potentially the number two quarterback taken, and he ends up going to the second round, or deep into the second round. But just on FanDuel, Jaden Daniels is minus 220 to be the number two overall pick, and the gap between that and Drake May is plus 170. So there is, I think, a pretty significant gap there, and probably tells you that Jaden Daniels is the second best QB in the draft. So I would be, I mean, if he falls though, like if it's, or if Drake May goes before him, that's where I do think like the Vikings do start to run up and pick up the phone. Cause it's like, well, he fell to three. Like now we're in striking distance here. I think he goes at two, but man, if he falls to three or if someone gets taken at two, that's not Jaden Daniels. I do think teams start to really pick up the phone and start making calls.
It feels like a long shot, yeah, that he gets past two. It just does. And everything that, you know, that you just went through, Phil, about him and that we've seen is basically the biggest concern is if he gets hit hard, he might just split in two and die. Well, okay, first of all, the coaching that he's going to get is I'm sure, going to try and tweak this a bit. I don't think he's going to take off consistently. I'm sure he'll take off at times. But, yeah, this feels – I just wonder if the Washington might take McCarthy thing was a smokescreen of sorts. I don't even know exactly why, but it feels like there's that pocket. But Daniels does seem like the second best talent. And I'd be hard pressed to think there's any team that would say, well, Jaden Daniels doesn't really fit our system. You know, I'm Kevin O'Connell and he doesn't really fit my system. I think any team would be absolutely thrilled to take the chance. Like if there is a chance here, oh my God, he might not succeed. Yeah. I think in any team that could get their hands on Jaden Daniels would probably be thrilled by it.
Isn't he also, too, just if from a Vikings perspective, you know, fans, you've been watching statue Kirk Cousins, statue Sam Bradford. Case Keenum could move a little bit, but he wasn't the athlete that Jaden Daniels is. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, even before the injury, Teddy Bridgewater wasn't the most mobile guy. He could scoot around a little bit.
Right.
But this is something that I think a lot of Vikings fans have been dreaming about since Dante Culpepper, just a guy that can keep something alive for 5, 6, 7 seconds. Now you don't want him doing that all the time. You want him to be operating within the parameters, but when he needs to bust it out, the emergency exit, get out of the pocket, keep a play alive. Oh, your left guard is melting down. Oh, Ed Ingram is melting down on the right side. Oh, I'll just scoot over this way and throw a pass down the field. Like that dynamic, a lot of Vikings fans have been jealously watching the rest of the league for the last 5, 10 years and wondering, when are we going to have a chance at a quarterback that can keep plays alive like that?
And plus, how long? So if a guy like this can start to, you know, if the pressure's coming and he can start to scramble, right, he can sort of buy himself time. There's only so long that I think Justin Jefferson can be covered.
Oh, absolutely.
So like now if you're buying time, and let's just say you're just buying time in the pocket, now you're not even planning to run, but Addison and Jefferson are downfield. Well, at some point in time, the secondary is going to be like, dudes, we can't keep this up.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't seen a lot of like off schedule Justin Jefferson, because once the play gets off schedule with Kirk Cousins, it's pretty much over. He's either going to have to throw it or get sacked or whatever. So
exactly.
Okay, the Drake May is next on the list here, and it's the tone of the Drake May anonymous comments are wildly different than J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels, and so we're going to dive into those in a second here. After we shout out our friends at Nicolet Law, the exclusive personal injury law firm of Purple Daily here. Now, Nicolet Law, they know that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life can come to a stop and things can get complicated. Those insurance companies don't really care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up. They don't care that you may not be able to work right now. Nicolet Law, however, does care. You can get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers, Nicolet, at NicoletLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. That's NicoletLaw.com or 1-855-NICOLET. Let's talk about how to turn those ugly decks more pretty, Judd. Where can people turn to?
Oh, they can turn to our friends, of course, at uglydeck.com, because you know what, boys? Springtime means deck time. A new deck from uglydeck.com. That should be in your very near future install or DIY. Uglydeck.com offering up to $1,000 off for a limited time. That's right. With install, you're going to get the best carpenters possible. That's what Sports Dad needs. With DIY, because some of you guys are much more handy than Sports Dad, you get the best coaches to help you from start to finish. Ugly Deck is on a mission to rid the world of ugly decks. So uglydeck.com, they want to get to a day, and it's a long time from now, where there's no such things left. They're setting up appointments now at their Shakopee Deck Design Showroom. Check out uglydeck.com. That's uglydeck.com. Again, DIY it, or you get their best people to help you. Either way, your ugly deck is a thing of the past.
Okay, let's talk about Drake May here. And again, the tone of these anonymous comments. There's actually one guy that went on the record, which isn't shocking because he's now a media guy. But it's a very different tone, despite the fact that he's in the mix to be drafted, maybe even higher than a J.J., maybe even the second quarterback off the board. If these six passers, Caleb Williams all the way down to Michael Penix and Bo Nix, this is from The Athletic, if these six passers were ranked on the level of polarization, Drake May would be the runaway leader. The panel of 17 called Drake May the quarterback most in need of a redshirt NFL season. So collectively, they thought this is the guy that could stand to sit behind someone for a year more than any of the other quarterbacks in the top six. One current general manager said, quote, people are going to pick Drake May apart. If he ends up being the best of the group, it would not shock me. He is made of the right stuff. Scout number one said, Drake May reminds me a lot of Justin Herbert. An assistant coach said, May is Herbert light. Take everything Justin Herbert does and make it less. They'll be compared, the two quarterbacks, because of prototype and size, but there's no comparison. I like May, but when I see the amount of work it will take to have him reach his potential, we'll all be fired first. And this is from Chris Sims. There's more here, but Chris Sims. If you watch 20 throws, you'll see good throws. Then you'll see the ball all over the place. The decision-making can be all over the place. The pocket presence is all over the place, let alone some mechanical flaws in how he throws the football. It was confirmed to me during his pro day, which was underwhelming. He's got all the size. He's pretty athletic when he runs. But I always hear he's like Justin Herbert coming out or Josh Allen, and my brain wants to explode when I hear those comps. Another personnel executive said, quote, Drake May scares the hell out of me. Longer thrower with a big arm, but not a quick release. Nothing feels like it happens in rhythm. Accuracy is average. Needs a year on the bench. And then a former GM said, he has accuracy you can't teach. So, like, they're all over the place. On one hand, he's wild, he's erratic, but then he has accuracy you can't teach. On some of the downfield throws, he absolutely does, like the 20-plus throws.
Yeah, exactly.
He's only scratching the surface with his upside while he physically matures. Wait for years 2 and 3. If he progresses, he can end up like Troy Aikman. So you've got some of these people literally saying, don't compare him to Justin Herbert. That's absurd. And others are saying, no. He's modern day Troy Aikman if you just give him a chance to mature after 2 or 3 years. So Drake May.
So first of all, if he has to sit for a year, that's absolutely fine. Like if he's the right guy, that's absolutely fine. In fact, I would encourage it.
Sure.
If Sam Darnold has to play the entire year because Drake May has been taken into the shop where Kevin O'Connell is somehow making him the $6 million quarterback, we're not going to complain when year two starts or year three starts and this guy's a complete stud.
They Frankenstein him for 12 months.
It's interesting that long list, I'm ready to play. It's interesting that long list that you just read, I don't think really had a lot of the J.J. McCarthy-esque mental breakdown stuff. I find that to be, because, I mean, that becomes incredibly important, right? Like, does he want to learn?
I heard mental breakdown and was like, wait, what? I see what you like. Breakdown of his like,
yeah, mental leadership. Of his mental, like the intangibles. Again, the intangibles become incredibly important here.
Yeah, no one's talking about that side of it with Drake May or Jaden Daniels, by the way.
And that's absolutely huge, especially with a Drake May where you're like, but you know what? The Buffalo Bills came here. It might have been during his rookie year. I think it was when they were significant underdogs. The Buffalo Bills to the Vikings with a young Josh Allen at QB. And we were all sort of laughing at the time. Oh, man, this guy, Wyoming, this guy's not any good. And then he sort of had that weird breakout game where he leaped over an Anthony Barr, and you started to see some stuff, and you're like, hold on a second, this guy can play, and they won. And so I would say this, if you're saying, you know, no, this guy cannot be Josh Allen. Well, no, he can't right now, possibly, but Josh Allen was not Josh Allen when he started. So, again, I think a Drake May, I think what I just heard you read becomes incredibly important. Who takes him? If it's a team that's going to thrust him in and be like, okay, dude, it's go time, you're going to have some problems. If it's a team that says, you know what, no, we got Darnold, he can start, take your time, we're going to help you, but we see things that we love. Like, this is where I think the league, and again, where scouts get way too, because I think if you're a scout, you're immediately projecting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not taking any time of, hey, not only could this take a year, but this kid wants to learn, for instance, or something. Like, I feel in covering this league, this is one of the biggest things I've learned, is we try way too hard to immediately project, well, the rookie year is going to be great, so that's all you need. It's like, it goes, as a quarterback, it goes so far beyond that. So if Drake
Like, Mason, people are dumb with Bryce Young.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I keep saying. He might be good. He got taken by a dumpster fire. And God bless him, Stroud got thrust in to what turned out to be a really good infrastructure with a really good coaching staff. You know, I mean, the Carolina Panthers took the people that were teaching Bryce Young and fired them before the season was done because
one of them, by the way, is about to teach somebody with the Vikings, Josh McCown.
But we just fall so in love with this. Well, this kid immediately projects to playing. He could play. I love, you know, he could step in tomorrow and play. Okay, that's great. But we really need to know, can this guy play for 10 years? That's what I want to know.
Drake May is more likely to turn into Josh Allen, the current version of Josh Allen, or the current version or peak version of Justin Herbert, if drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, than if drafted by the New England Patriots. But I think where the question marks are, like, let's say Kevin O'Connell agrees that, yeah, this dude is much more of a project, but if we can get him to his 90th percentile, he's going to be one of the 3 to 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL. But we could go the safer route. We think J.J. McCarthy, or we think that Bo Nix, we'll get to some of these other guys, are more currently refined or ready. They've got better mechanics or just whatever it may be, better decision-making processing. But maybe their ceiling is the 8th best quarterback in the NFL or the 10th best quarterback or Kirk Cousins, where his ceiling wound up being. And that's the decision they have to make. The other thing is Sam Darnold was brought in here. He's going to start almost certainly week 1 unless one of these rookies blows you away Russell Wilson style from 12 years ago during the offseason. And he's kind of a project too, because he's only 26 years old. He was a 3rd overall pick, and they're looking, you know, I think fans and media are just dismissing Sam Darnold as, oh, he's just a warm body in a room. But Kevin O'Connell is going to put a ton of time into making him the best version of Sam Darnold as he can. So that's another dynamic here is, if you're going to put all this effort into Sam Darnold and he's going to start from week 1, what are you doing over here on the side? Who's getting the first team reps at practice? Like, it's going to be your starting quarterback. How are they going to walk that line with Sam Darnold being in the mix as well? And how do they view Sam Darnold? Because they've been saying at press conferences, oh no, we think that there's a big time talent there and a guy that we think we can develop. Maybe the best case scenario is you draft Drake May. He sits for a year. Sam Darnold plays really well. Maybe the Vikings win 9 games unexpectedly. He has a Baker Mayfield-like season. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, couldn't you then get a nice juicy comp pick as part of the equation if he signs for $35 million with somebody else?
Yeah.
And then Drake May becomes your starter in year 2, right?
Yes. I would say that the most important thing is we don't assume, because I feel like we don't assume that there's no plan to start Darnold, if healthy, for 17 games. Like, it feels like we're like, well, as soon as the young kid is prepared, but like, there's no, as far as I can tell, there's no front office fracture here. It's not like Les Frazier got his guy McNabb and Rick got his guy Ponder. And now it's sort of a competition to, well, who can start faster or who can start. So if this thing is going like I think, there's just a chance to, and if Darnold develops, awesome. Like, if he improves a lot, that's great. If he doesn't, okay, that's fine too. But, you know, there could be a very coherent plan here of our plan, or at least as they go through the potential of QBs that they could get, that their plan is that Darnold's going to start 17 games. And we can complain and moan and be like, we want to see the rookie, but they can't give a damn. Like, it's not their job. In this case, in that case, it's not their job to say, well, public pressure says this.
Yeah.
It's their job to say, how do we take the kid and get the most possible? And if that means not playing for a year, I don't think that by any means is the end of the world.
Let's get to the last two quarterbacks here on this list. What are anonymous NFL executives, coaches, scouts saying about quarterbacks the Vikings could draft? Bo Nix, also very polarizing. So The Athletic, again, panel of 17. The consensus was Nix is sixth out of the six quarterbacks that we're talking about here. Scout number two said, I think personally Bo Nix is much better than Michael Penix. So he doesn't agree with being sixth out of six. Penix is serviceable and a different player when he's playing on schedule, but he's not a good foot athlete. The thought here is that Nix is maybe even a better athlete than people think. A former general manager said Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix will be the best pros early on among this group of six.
That's no question, Rick Spielman. It's for sure Rick Spielman. I love Bo Nix.
And then personnel executive number two said Nix is just good enough at everything. Like, just good enough at everything. I don't want to knock him for hitting open wide receivers on easy throws at Oregon. I walked away from his tape wanting more. And then PFF had a couple snippets too. Some see Nix's age as a negative, but it has made him one of the more knowledgeable prospects with a better pre-snap understanding of defenses than most quarterbacks. He's an above average athlete for the position, and as a passer, he is also accurate out of structure. So get him on the run and he can still make plays. He gets in trouble due to his footwork. His feet are not as light as they could be. His knack for avoiding negative plays, however, including avoiding sacks, is top of the class. And then I'll give you Michael Penix. We did some of these with the Albert Breer article from 2 weeks ago, but one assistant coach from The Athletic said Penix is better now than May and McCarthy for NFL football right now. He can read defenses. He can throw accurately. He's quick. He has a strong enough arm. He's more of a sure thing to play in the NFL, but I'm not sure where he goes from here because he doesn't have the same upside. And that's the difference. Like, okay, you let all of these racehorses out of the gate, right? Michael Penix and Bo Nix might get the early lead. Oh, we can play in the NFL. Look at us. We're great. We're like the Van Wilders. We've been in college for a decade. It's great. But then after the halfway point of the race, does Drake May come flying down the backstretch because he's got more upside? And then Albert Breer from SI.com, we touched on some of these 2 weeks ago. One offensive coach from an AFC team said, Penix is my number two guy in this draft class. I love Penix. He's a stud, a born leader, calm and collected in a genuine way. He's a baller. He turns it loose. He can throw it into tight windows. He's just a winner. And then others have agreed that Penix has things you can't coach. Deep ball accuracy off the charts, his leadership intangibles. He throws with anticipation. He's tough as nails. He's football smart. There are some mechanical issues, especially in the intermediate range, that need to be ironed out. And so the optimist coaches would say that he can be fixed with some mechanical work. The pessimists would say he's been in school for 6 years. He's had great coaching, and there's still enough flaws in his throwing, especially short, intermediate. Why haven't they been ironed out yet? So that's Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
So the Bo Nix thing, I'll go back to what I've been saying the entire time that scares me, is his greatest accomplishments came when the offense was tricked up, and you can't do that in the pros. Like, you can help a quarterback, but you can't trick up an offense like college coaches can.
Yeah.
So that's what scares me there, because you don't have any real idea of what happens when he steps into an offense where you're actually not completely skewing it in his favor. I'll continue to say at least Penix intrigues me. And I love when I hear things like, well, he's got some mechanical problems, because mechanical problems can be fixed. Like, if Kevin O'Connell's like, oh, I can fix that. That's what goes back to our entire show on Penix last week, where basically the scouts are like, oh my God, these mechanical flaws are out of control. We can't fix them.
Yeah.
And the coaches are like, hold on a second. This guy's got like four things I can't teach. And you're telling me that I can't then teach him the exact things that I've been, you know, basically doing this job to teach. So Penix intrigues me far more. Bo Nix just really scares me, because now you're planting him back into the real world. And what does that look like? You know, like Justin Jefferson's still great, but now you can't trick it up so that he is wide open or that he is. So I just, that's the one thing I've always said is if I'm a quarterback and I want to play in the National Football League, I get very leery if I go to a school where the system is basically this old school run and shoot or something, you know, something like that, where it's like, oh, you're going to put up huge stats. It's going to be great. And the next thing you know, it is great until you get to the pros. And now you're on a practice squad because of that.
Yeah. Penix intrigues me a lot, man. I really like Michael Penix. And this could just be me being spoon fed the information from all these scouts and stuff, but it just feels like, and I know he's had a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of the draft stock from the last two college football games he played now, where we're about 10 days out, but Penix really intrigues me because you're not going to have to trade up to get him most likely. And it just feels like there's a lot there that is really intriguing with his athletic ability. And I know he's had some knee injuries and whatnot, but I really like what I see from Michael Penix. I would be 100% on board with that. I think if his name is called on Thursday,
it's like, I've sort of just been, as we've been going through this exercise, making like my, I've ranked the five, and they say six because they had Caleb Williams on here. We obviously didn't go through the Caleb Williams stuff because he's going to be unavailable to the Vikings. But I've got them all in. Again, if Kevin O'Connell likes any of these five, cool. Like, I trust his judgment on this. But I've got him in three different categories. Let's, before we get to a mock that's really interesting this morning, let's go around the room and give me, based on what we just went through, anonymous people in the NFL saying things about these five quarterbacks. I'll start because I have him ranked 1 through 5, but I also have him in three different tiers.
Okay.
So number one for me right now is Jaden Daniels. I don't know that they're going to have access to him, but he is a guy, based on what everyone is saying, based on what we've seen from him, that I would feel comfortable going 11, 23, and a 2025 first for what he could be for this franchise for 10 years. So that's a guy where, all right, if you have to give up the 2025 first round pick, okay, I can get with that. My next tier, so number two, I have JJ McCarthy. And maybe I'm just like, it's like the tone of what these 17 anonymous NFL higher-ups are saying. Maybe that's spooking me a little bit on Drake May, but I just can't get past how guys like Harbaugh, people in the league, are raving about his leadership, the intangible stuff, the over-the-middle accuracy, the willingness to make plays exactly where Kevin O'Connell wants you to make plays. I don't know that I'm giving up my 2025 first-round pick for him, though, so I'm putting him and Drake May as third for me in the category of, if it takes the 11, the 23, and then something other than the 2025 first-round pick, go make it happen. Go up to 5. Go up to 4, whatever it is. And then I put Penix and Bo Nix 4 and 5. I'll put Penix above Nix. In the stick at 11, or if things go haywire at the top and you just get boxed out of Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, Drake May, and now you're trying to figure out how to regroup and where do you go, do you stick at 11? Do you start trading back now and accumulating day 2 picks? So I'd put those guys in that third tier. So Jaden Daniels, line, JJ McCarthy, Drake May, line, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, for me.
So two things for me. One is, because we got so much about McCarthy as far as his personality goes and as far as his mental makeup goes, and we got nothing basically on Daniels and May, I'm going to just, for the sake of this exercise, assume that they're all great guys. They're all wired right, okay? Because it's not fair to be like, well, sure, McCarthy sounds great, but I don't know anything about these other two. And I actually have, what would be 4 bins. Anyway, Daniels one. I think he's the second guy. Like, I think this is all smoke screens and BS. Mm-hmm. Drake May two. And I'm willing to allow him to sit for a year. I again, we have seen quarterbacks who should have sat for a year or who got that, and they come out and they are refined. So I'm putting May 2, McCarthy 3, Penix, and then Nix. I agree with where you drew the lines, Phil, but I'm actually going to draw a line after Penix. Sure. I would put Nix, and again, this is just from what we've read, what we've talked about. So, but I would put Nix more in the Rattler bin.
Oh, should we put Rattler? Would you put him? Would you put Rattler above Nix? They didn't do the Rattler.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. Well, I'm just saying. I would put them in the same bin. I might put Rattler above Nix, but I think Penix. I'm with Dex. I like Penix a lot more than Nix, and I think Penix has things. Mm-hmm. But like I would consider him. It would probably be seen as a reach by a lot, but I would consider Penix at 11. Bo Nix, I wouldn't even consider it. And if Denver takes him at 12, God bless him. But Penix is a guy who I would put a lot more up towards. I think he has real possibilities than what I have or have not seen from Bo Nix.
So I have Jaden Daniels as number one. Again, I think he'll be gone, but he's definitely, I think, the best of this group. Just from what he was able to do. I mean, for God's sakes, he averaged like 10 yards a play between his legs and his arms. He was a video game. Like you were playing on rookie mode on Madden, not even just a video game. You're playing on the easiest difficulty. That's what he was able to do at LSU. So I have him one. I have JJ McCarthy two. I think they really like McCarthy. There's intangibles there. There's things that have to be ironed out still, but I think this team is legit. And Jim Harbaugh, who has been very successful with quarterbacks that maybe aren't considered elite, from Alex Smith, obviously to Colin Kaepernick, with JJ McCarthy, he's able to get a lot out of quarterbacks, whether they fit that system or whether they're a tricked up pony. It just seems to work for him. I have Michael Penix three. I'm ahead of Drake May.
Wow.
I'm ahead of Drake May. I don't know with May that what people are saying about him too. I don't know there. I'm a little bit scared. I think that's a long-term project too. I don't think that's clearly he isn't a week one starter, but I think that's a long-term project. And with Penix, I just like the athletic ability a lot more. And maybe I'm falling in love with like the color of the car, you know, maybe it's like this red Corvette and I really, really like it. So I want to go 90 miles an hour on the freeway, but I like Penix way more than May. And then Bo Nix would be five on my list.
Okay. Interesting. So we're all like pretty much in agreement that if you can get Jaden Daniels, we all would be, if they identify that,
I think you
give up that 2025 first round pick.
Yep.
And then would you guys be okay with the Vikings giving up the 2025 first round pick for McCarthy or May? I would prefer that they would not do that personally, but.
Well, how about the report that surfaced this weekend about the fact that the Vikings are desperately trying to hold on to pick 23 and give up 11? And my guess is that 2025 first round pick, which in the world of how that is done, translates right now to a second round pick, in part because you don't know where that's going to fall.
I think for tomorrow's show, we should spend some time on that report and then the Mike Florio educated speculation about a potential 8 and 11 pick swap for tampering in the first round. That the NFL, remember last year, the Cardinals and the Eagles, it was for like later picks.
Right. It wasn't first round picks. Right.
It was not for, it was let alone high first round picks.
Yep.
But the NFL came in before the draft and said, Jonathan Gannon, that was tampering. So we're going to make you guys swap pick values later in the draft. So could they do the same thing with the Vikings and the Falcons? We should do that for tomorrow's show. But let's do a mock here real quick before we say goodbye on today's episode.
I want a mock.
This one was sent from a couple different listeners. I'm just going to make a note for tomorrow's show too. Vikings. A couple listeners sent this one from Boston Sports Journal this morning. Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal. It's his 3.0 mock draft. Obviously, he covers the Patriots, so it's kind of a Patriots interest mock draft here. He's got Caleb Williams going to the Bears at one. Then he's got Washington taking Drake May, number two. Then with the third pick, so this is where the Patriots, they've just been grinding the Patriots trade speculation here.
I can't wait to see what the Patriots get back in this haul from a guy out east.
And he does have the listed trade value. The Las Vegas Raiders are now on the clock, moving up from the teens somewhere, right?
Yes.
13, moving up in 13. So here's the haul for the Vegas Raiders to take Jaden Daniels, number three, by the way. It's the 13, the 44, so their early second, a fourth rounder, a 2025 first, and a 2025 fourth. So the Vikings equivalent here would be, I think, more appealing because you'd give the 11th. The Patriots wouldn't have to go back as far. the 23, which is 19, that's 21 slots better than the 44th overall pick. The Vikings can give up fourth round picks too for days, and the 2025 first round pick. So in this case, the Vikings presumably would not have even offered the 11, the 23, and next year's first, because that those would be better slots than what the Raiders gave up to move up to get the third overall pick.
I thought for sure it was going to be 11, Justin Jefferson, first round pick next right. year. I thought for sure that's actually not bad. Like, yeah, if you got, if the Patriots took that, that would be, I would be surprised. It's not more, but I mean, it's possible, I guess.
And then they've got Arizona taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, and we have another team on the clock at five. The Minnesota Vikings have swung a trade with the Los Angeles Chargers, where they trade the 11, the 23, a fifth rounder this year, and then 2025 and 2026 third rounders. Wow. But you keep the 2025 first round pick, I guess.
Yep. Yep.
And the Vikings select J.J. McCarthy.
I want a mock.
Now, because he deals in currency, and because what I would call informed reckless speculation is part of his breakfast each day, when it comes to what Florio said, speaking of Mike, this weekend about the Chargers sure as hell, because of Jim Harbaugh being there, aren't going to do the Vikings any favor. Do we think that that is going to weigh in, or do we think that he was purely guessing? And I will say this. Florio usually gets a kernel of some truth and then runs with that. So I'm not saying he's correct. I am saying I don't think he says that if he hadn't been talking to a person who said Jim Harbaugh's still pissed at the Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, then call Monty Austin for it. He's down to deal. We've seen those videos out
absolutely.
In Arizona.
Absolutely true.
I think there's a way up the board with two or three different teams. But really, by the way, of course, this Patriots Boston Journal, they've got the Patriots then moving back up from like 13 to 8. So they're just wheeling and dealing all throughout the top 10.
Yeah, and they got the Patriots coming back to win the AFC next year, too. AFC yeah, champion.
And
Patriots.
It is a 2-round mock. I think they've got a quarterback going in the second round, but it's a paywall here. So this mock draft presented
I want a mock
by our friends who are helping to present the draft party, which is just 10 days away. The Purple Daily third annual draft party at the Fillmore in Minneapolis. We partner with Element Hotel right above the Fillmore. So if you haven't booked your hotel room yet, you're coming in from out of town, or you just want to be safe and stay downtown, 15% room rate discount for the Purple Daily draft party attendees by going to scorenorth.com/hotel. That's scorenorth.com/hotel to get your discounted hotel rate at Element Hotel. And a shout out to our friends at Popped Corn of Minnetonka. That's the official flag sponsor. Everyone in attendance gets a flag, a Judd Zolgad flag for you to wave. And all VIPs will receive a Popped Corn sample bag as well. And also our friends at Federated Insurance have been helping us here the last several years build up Score North, build up Purple Daily. If you're a business owner out there, make sure you have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims by letting the team at Federated support your business. Federated Insurance offers a customizable lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you continue your winning streak as a business owner. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. So that's what all of the anonymous people in the NFL are saying about these Vikings quarterback options, boys.
Final thought here, and I hope it's not a judgment because I found this show to be great. But at the start of the show, Dawn is in the room, and she said, I'm going to sit there and listen to your show. I said, you're going to get bored quick. She fell asleep about 20 minutes ago. She dozed off, and she's still sound asleep.
Was it during the Drake May criticism?
I think
Did she get to Bo Nix?
No, I think it was Drake May. I think it was during the Drake May she fell asleep. I hope that's not an indication. I hope that's not a one-star rating of today's program, because I found it to be exhilarating.
Well, who's down there doing the work to get the Zolgads back to even now? Yeah. You got to get down
there.
It
went too late. It went too late last night, and now no one's doing it. We're in big trouble here. Big trouble.
Well, Good luck to you guys. Hopefully you can, pull a couple more slots before
I'm coming
leave.
Home. I can't take this anymore. This high roller lifestyle is too much for me. These comp rooms, they scare me.
Oh, did you guys get a comp?
Oh, she's got comp rooms, yeah.
A comp, let's go.
Oh, she drops by here every time she's going to see her sister. Oh, yeah. No, this is a comped room.
Some people get comped at the Bellagio in Vegas. The Zolgads get comped at Iowa casinos.
Waterloo. Yeah.
Which I couldn't even recall. I was here today when Declan said, how is it? I said, I don't think I'm in. Oh, hold on a second. I am Waterloo.
Amazing. So, all right. Well, good luck to Judd getting back here. We've got much more tomorrow on Purple Daily. Declan has Purple Daily on draft with Tyler Fornes and Miles Gorham. Today, we are counting down the days until a potential franchise-changing draft for your Minnesota Vikings. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. See you guys.